want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
Tune in to hear an encouraging word by Pastor Cindy Daigle. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
If you're familiar with the last words of Christ, those are pretty valuable words, right? This is God incarnate, and he's about to pay the price for sin of all humanity. And the things that he says when he's on the cross, those are very important words, right? Well, there's one phrase that he says just before he gives up his spirit. He asks this phrase. It's a question. He asks this question. And if you're reading through it, it kind of makes you go, what? And what he says is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the translation actually gives you the Aramaic phrase, or if it's Hebrew, I'm not sure, but he gives you the phrase in that original language that he spoke, not just the translation. So it's a double statement there. So it's important, right? So why would Jesus ask why God had forsaken him? Because had God the Father, the God of love, forsaken his Son? Well, no, he hadn't. How many of you, if I said, hey, that song, God is Good, the tune pops in your head, right? You know, or just name some other song title that's very popular and you know it. In fact, there's some of them that have been sung so many times. Like if I say to you, Amazing Grace, with that phrase, you don't think grace and how it's amazing. You think about instantly the song. Well, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was a song title. No one taught that to me. I learned that as I was reading through the scripture. And I found it in Psalm 22. It's the title of the song. Now later, I heard it taught because it's a truth, right? So it's the title of a song. And if you go back and read the lyrics to that song in Psalm 22, that's what the word psalm means. It means song. And if you go read it, it is prophetically declaring the cross. 400 years, I think it is, before Roman crucifixion was even created, before they used that form of killing someone, of ending their life, it describes it. That's where we read that his hands and his feet were pierced, right? So when you read that psalm, it describes it. But it opens with, why have you forsaken me? Well, if it's a question, there must be an answer. And it is in that psalm. So when you read a little further down, as you read through the description of what Christ went through, it kind of changes its tone somewhere around verse 19 and starts to say why. It starts to explain why. What was going on? Did God really forsake him? Well, by appearances, it looked that way. But we know from our understanding of grace that he didn't forsake him, but that he sent him on a mission. And the mission was about to be accomplished, that he was taking on the sins of the world. But there was a cause in his own heart that he was carrying that is described in Psalm 22. And this is it, that I might praise my Father in the great congregation. Now, when the Lord lit that up for me, he lit up for me that when we lift our hands, it's like flowers of the field to him. You know, you look out and see pink and purple and fields of flowers opened. But when he sees our hands opened, they're not scarred. They're not bleeding. And they're beautiful to him because that's what he paid for. That you would not have to endure your death that you deserve. That he had actually rescued you. So when you stand, not only are you praising God, but Christ in you is praising God that mission accomplished. This one belongs to you, Father. And so what he suffered for and what he died for has happened. And this one, Lord, look at them. Look at him. Look at her, Lord. Aren't they beautiful? Look at those hands, Father. They're perfect. They're unpierced. They're not scarred by their sin because what we did has prevailed. Let Jesus in you lift his hands to his Father. Amen? Because that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to stand in each and every one of you and give his Father praise because he's got a perfect view of who he is. He has no doubt in his goodness. He doesn't question whether or not his will is perfect. He doesn't have, you know, any of that kind of double-mindedness that we wrestle with. He knows God is good so much that he would not do anything that he didn't see his Father do. He wouldn't speak anything that he didn't hear his Father speak. Let's let Jesus have his way. You have everything that you need for life and godliness. There's just nothing that can overcome you when you understand the power of the Word of God that comes into your life. And sometimes, you know, we just can get so distracted by the day-to-day things of life that we forget who we are and who we're serving. And he didn't just cause you to get your sins washed away, and now you can just act like a heathen, right? And just keep on doing what you were doing before. In fact, you know what? You thought you were partying before, now you can really party because the blood of Jesus is taking care of things. No, that's not right. What it is he's given you the power to live a godly life from the inside out with the same passions he had. I remember, you know, I mean, I've always kind of been pretty passionate about the things of God since the day I got born again. Sometimes I wished in my heart that I could not be so passionate because it just kind of comes out. And you're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. You just love Jesus with everything you've got. He's real to you. He's not some religious prescription. He's not just something you do. He's real in you, right? And so one day I was reading through the scripture and I read these words, "Zeal for my Father's house, it's consumed me." You know who was saying it? Jesus was. You know what I recognized right then and there? That wasn't my passion. It was his. And I was just cooperating, being a vessel he could flow through. So that zeal wasn't coming from me. That zeal was coming from him. And you know, I kind of like that Psalm 22 where it talks about that I'm going to praise you in the great congregation. That was Jesus's goal, his ambition, his desire, was to come to each and every one of us, dwell within us, so that when we raise our hands and his Father looks upon that sea of Christians that are honoring him because we're a life redeemed, a life transformed, a life empowered, no longer bound by sin and its desires, with a passion and a zeal for his house. That's him. So I just kind of, you know, when you raise your hands, you're letting Jesus raise his hands to his Father because he's in you. That's what he wanted to be able to do. That's the zeal that consumed him to give honor to his Father, who's our Father now because we've been adopted. I like being adopted. And it's kind of cool because he doesn't just adopt you and you stay with the same DNA you had before. He adopts you and he transforms you. You got his blood. You have his DNA. He transforms you. You're not the same as you were before. You've been made different. You're new. You are not who you once were. And you find that out because you can still think like you thought before. You can even still act like you acted before. But something on the inside of you is going to fight it every step of the way. And he's going to beg you and draw you to be empowered with the passions that drive his heart, to come forth and to say, "This is the way. Walk in it. This is what I am. Come be with me." I can be thinking about the things I want. That covetous nature can be just sitting there raging in my mind. Or I can let the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So the praise and worship team, they're going to sing some songs. There's a good chance somebody might miss a rhythm or a beat. And you might notice that and get distracted. There's a good chance some kid in here is going to start making all kind of racket right in the middle of praise and worship. Or some adult, you maybe notice some lint stuck on the back of their head. There are plenty of opportunities for you to be distracted by your surroundings. But there's a greater opportunity right now for you to just disappear into the heavenlies and let your spirit come into sweet communion with His Spirit. Right now, in this moment, you can step out of the natural into the supernatural and have perfect fellowship with Him. That's what grace does for you. See, why do we play the songs? Well, it's to kind of create an atmosphere of unity. It's to get everybody singing the same thing at the same time. And that way you're maybe not so much distracted. It's a physical thing, but it imitates a spiritual thing. Because in the spirit, even though we're getting different revelations and we're receiving different communication from the Father for what's going on in our life, there's a unity of the faith that is like when everybody sings a song together and you hear the voices rise. I love this room because you can hear the voices echoing off the ceiling, right? You can hear everybody singing over the sound system. And it's beautiful because it represents our faith that's united in Christ. So we just come into His presence. You know where revivals are created? They're not created by people doing things that they do during revival. They're created by the individual who says, I came this day to get more of Christ, to be transformed, to be made new. I came today to let the love of God pour through me and clean out the stuff that's in me that has no place, that's unholy, that's impure, that doesn't understand the carnal mind that wars against God and is always arguing with Him. Do you have a carnal mind that's always arguing with God? Anybody got kids always arguing with you? Do you want to be that kid with God? You got to just say, yes, Lord. You got to stop arguing with Him about everything. You got to stop telling Him how we ought to do. You got to just say, yes, Lord, you're right. It's impossible for you to be wrong. How do I think that I know better than you? I submit to you right now, Lord. I receive your understanding and your wisdom.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.